Yeah, we made it. A 3-day weekend is upon us. It's Friday. So, good God Almighty, what are you going to do? Are you going to be a lovable fuzzball like I know you're going to be? I think you are. So, let's just slide right into this. And maybe I'll even take pictures of what I do. I'll post it on Instagram or I'll post it on Twitter. And you can go over there and make fun of me for the things that I enjoy whilst not in the day job or speaking into a microphone. And here's another thing that I've said in the past and how they're going to escalate the whole situation in Russia. They're now promoting NATO and the United States giving F-16s to the Ukrainians. Now, I'm not going to buy for a single second that, oh, we're training Ukrainian pilots to fly F-16s. No, I'm sorry, not going to buy it. The only people that are going to be able to fly F-16s in the amount of time that they're saying the Ukrainians are going to get the said F-16s is if the pilots are mercenaries or, in fact, NATO pilots. That's it. I'm sorry. Now, everybody is pointing to this. Oh, that's it. The F-16s, they're going to be a game changer. And we're going to be moving right along. We're going to push the Russians out of the Ukraine. And guess what? Crimea counts as part of the Ukraine. The F-16, yes, it is a jet. Yes, it is a capable jet. But is it a game changer? No, it will not be a game changer. If I had to guess what they're going to do with F-16s, they're going to use them for terrorist strikes and attack civilian buildings, infrastructure, and so on and so forth in places like the Crimea, because they can attack the Crimea from a fair distance away, possibly outside of the range of anti-aircraft, surface-to-air missiles from the Russians. That's what I think is really going to happen. And the Poles, the Polish, they're all about doing this. Oh, the Polish side is ready to train pilots on F-16s. And guess what? It's a co-effort between the Danes, Belgium, the UK, and other allies. And it is a coordinated effort. But we will speed it up now, said Dutch Defense Minister Kaja Ollengren. Jeez, I hope I pronounced that right. In fact, I really don't care if I pronounced that right, to be completely honest with you, because nobody should trust the Dutch. So this is what we're looking at here. Now, do you for a second think that the F-16s will actually last all that long? No. The answer is no. They are trying to do this exchange of materials. They're trying to get these F-16s in there as fast as possible because they know they're losing. They want to escalate this war, NATO and the US and the UK, in the worst possible way. They can't wait to take this further. In fact, you even have Polish politicians coming out and saying that they fully intend to do a color revolution in Belarus, which neighbors Russia and also Poland. Poland is out for a land grab. This is the same exact nonsense that happened during the 20s and 30s. 100 years later, we're doing the same effing crap. Doesn't this get boring at some point? Don't we realize that we are in a historical cul-de-sac? Don't you think you know what's going to happen? If the Russians can defeat the Nazis in World War II, I'm pretty sure they can defeat the Nazis in 2023, and 4, and 5, and on, and on, and on. There's no way that it's not going to happen. It's just a matter of how bad they want this casualty list to go through the roof. And I'm telling you, the West is going to do as much as it possibly can to disrupt everything. Everything. What is the major bulwark against Western dominance? It is BRICS. BRICS is that economic conglomeration. Brazil, Russia, India, South Africa, and China. What did I predict? I predicted that the West is going to try to overthrow member states of BRICS, because if the Russians are not going to be subjugated in the Ukraine, then the next best thing that they can possibly do is inflict more economic pain than they've already done. What does that entail? It entails overthrowing countries like Brazil. If you looked at the last election over there, it is extremely dubious. And it seems as though they used the same tactics in Brazil that they did in the United States during 2020. And now, if you look over at South Africa, it is on the precipice of being a failed state. That's right, rolling blackouts all over the place. According to Bloomberg, the economic crisis is worsening again. Theft, vandalism, and railway damage by gangs that left a 428-mile rail line from the port of Durban to Gauteng province operating at a 25% capacity. That's right. That's a big deal. For the past week, it continues, there have been a total of 39 security-related incidents targeting critical areas on the main line, resulting in the closure of those lines. And that was according to Transnet SOC, which is the state-owned company, quasi-owned, quasi-public company that owns the railway lines in South Africa. So what is this looking at? What are we looking at here? You're looking at them trying to collapse South Africa. Read any of these stories about what's going on in there. You're having to see extreme bouts of racism. They're going after white farmers, white people, and if you look at the history, the Boers, not really a friendly group. Goring, from the Nazis, head of the Luftwaffe, when he's not over in Antarctica, his family came from South Africa. And so now you know the pedigree of the Boers and what they were doing down there. It's a lot more complex than that, but you get the idea. So knowing that South Africa is part of BRICS, they're trying to topple South Africa. They've already swayed Brazil by putting their man in charge over there. And they went after the South American Trump. Yes, it's Friday. You could tell over there. So they are dismantling BRICS. The only positive aspect of all of this that they can kind of hang their hat on is that BRICS is incorporating a lot more countries than the West probably anticipated. So knowing that, we can say that BRICS is probably not dead. It's probably going to add on a few more letters and possibly remove others. So it ain't dead. Russia ain't going nowhere. That's just something that these Westerners have to understand. And I don't think they want to come to that conclusion yet. They want a slow burn. They're doing the same kind of tactics that they did in Iraq, Afghanistan, what they did during COVID. They never talk about an ending to these crises. They only talk about how to maintain it. They want a slow burn. They don't want the crisis to end. They just want it to be manageable. And that's what's happening in the Ukraine. Because if they truly wanted to, NATO could go march in there and put an end to all of this. And if Russia truly wanted to, they can do that as well. They're in a pretty much state of being a standoff. At some point, that's going to end. In fact, not so long ago, apparently, the Ukraine launched a whole heap loads of missiles against Russia, or a piece of land that is currently occupied by Russia, and apparently they couldn't sustain it. So that looks like possibly the beginning of this supposed counterattack and all that nonsense, which I expect it to go nowhere, absolutely nowhere. That's what you have to watch out for, because you're going to see more and more idiocy, more and more propaganda just try to manipulate you, just like they did during COVID and all that other nonsense. And knowing that we're going into an election cycle for 2024, you can fully expect that these stooges are not going to stop, because we have idiot Reid Hoffman, head of LinkedIn. Everyone knows what LinkedIn is at this point. He, if you don't know a little bit about Mr. Hoffman, he funded the Russia bot hoax against GOP candidate Roy Moore, underwrote, meaning he funded, Trump accuser E. Jean Carroll's lawsuit about, oh, Trump raped me in a fitting room. Yes, I'm sure he did. And now there is GOP presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy crying foul because he decided to post something on LinkedIn and he got in heap big trouble. What does this mean? It means that once again, you've got big tech interfering in the elections and they're not going to stop. They don't care about interference in elections. They will interfere in elections. We've seen it for the past 4 years. We've seen it since Trump got into office. We've seen it for the past 8 years. And they don't care about breaking the law, because as long as you maintain the narrative as CEO of a big tech company, then you are only going to be lavished with more gifts, more money, more contracts from the federal government, and you'll be able to maintain the status quo. And that's one of the reasons why so many of these elites do not like Donald Trump, because he does not maintain the status quo. And no matter what any of these idiots say, oh, we're philanthropic, oh, we're going to donate to this cause, oh, we're going to donate to Act Blue and BLM and all this other nonsense, they don't want anything to change. They want to maintain the status quo. Because if they don't maintain the status quo, their wealth is now put at risk. So, of course, they want things to just be manageable. They don't want any sort of social issue to actually come to a resolution, because if it did, then they couldn't fundraise off of it. These parasites want these situations. So Vivek was kicked off of LinkedIn, or at least I should say it this way. His LinkedIn account was restricted for three things. Number one, he posted a video back in February. The CCP, China, is playing the Biden admin like a Chinese mandolin. China has weaponized the woke pandemic to stay one step ahead of us, and it's working. I've made that same conclusion myself. Number two, back in February again, if the climate religion was really about climate change, then they'd be worried about, say, shifting oil production from the U.S. to places like Russia and China. Once again, he's absolutely correct. Look at where all of the pollution comes from. It really isn't the United States. It's coming from Asia and Africa. Look at those places. Number three, which was from this month. The climate agenda is a lie. Fossil fuels are a requirement for human prosperity. That's what gets this guy banned from LinkedIn. How dare you question the climate change narrative? It's all humans' fault. The human being is the one that needs to be restricted, particularly those that aren't billionaires. Because we need to corral you into 15-minute cities. And if you want your freedom by using a gas-guzzling car, then you're part of the problem. We need to stop climate change in its tracks, and the only way to do it is by forcing you out of your car and into an electric vehicle so that we can regulate when and how you can get your fuel. That's right. So don't think any of this has gone away, because we're really going to see a desperate push from these a-holes over the next year or so, especially during this election. Oh, one more thing. This comes from Li Fang. So you can look him up on Twitter, or you can go to his his website, lifang.com. Fairly good reporter. He came out with something today. Now, this is another thing that I predicted a couple of months ago. Billionaire funding abolish the police activists invests in private security startup. Okay, so that's a clumsy title for an article that's important. So basically, you have a guy by the name of Pierre Omidyar. And what he did was he funded a load of these defund the police, abolish the police movements. And at the same time, do you know what he's doing with his money? He is supporting private security firms. So what does this mean overall? They're trying to bring to the United States what's been done in England. They want to privatize police forces. That means a whole slew of consequences. So that tells us that they do not support the cops. They never will support the cops. And he's a billionaire. So if you don't know anything about him, he was one of the founders of eBay, pals around with Richard Branson from Virgin. So we can only assume that he's also running in the same crowds as the Jeffrey Epstein types and cavorting around all the Caribbean islands down there. Omidyar is a financial supporter on anti-police activists in June of 2020. In response to protests over George Floyd, he funded, through his philanthropic network, various organizations to the tune of $500,000. The Movement for Black Lives, an abolitionist coalition of activists. Abolitionists? Are there still black slaves anywhere in the United States? Seeking to eradicate public policing, was one of the recipients of money that year. And disclosures show that the Omidyar Network provided $300,000 to that group. When we say defund and abolish the police, we exactly mean that. And before I go on social media today, making the rounds is the report about George Floyd and what he died from and what he found in his system. So you can read through it. No facial, oral, mucosal, or conjunctival, whatever. You know I can't stand these effing words to save the life of me. So I'm not even going to try and say them. I'll just go to the juicy bits. Toxicology. Because we all know George Floyd was a hero when he wasn't pointing pistols at pregnant women. Toxicology testing performed. And what did they find in the blood and novel psychoactive substances portion of it? Oh, they found fentanyl. They found norfentanyl. They found 4-ANPP. I don't know what that is. They found methamphetamines. They found hydroxydelta-9-THC. They found codeine. They found caffeine. So the guy was hocked up on meth and oxys, and he had a cup of coffee on his way to work, I assume, before the cops nabbed him. So please save me all of the nonsense when it comes to these protests about George Floyd and how he's the next Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, stop it. He's nothing, absolutely nothing to Martin Luther King Jr., please. So anyway, you get the idea. This clown, Omidyar, he funds all of this stuff. And he is purposefully pushing a defund the police movement so that he can make money through private security firms, so that we can get rid of the police and put in companies to police individuals. Now, they're essentially being deputized. Do you sincerely think that a private security firm, Blackwater Security, Blackwater Policing, do you think they're going to be held to the same standards as, let's say, the New York Police Department or Chicago Police Department? Do you think they're going to have the same accountability? Don't you think they're going to have extra privileges where they can get away with a lot more than what's been going on today? I think so. In fact, I can almost promise you, I would even make a bet that they would be doing just that. So watch out for these fork-tongued losers that speak out of both sides of their mouth, and you need to hold these people accountable because you've got to follow the money. these people are out for blood, and they are not going to stop. They're going to push this kind of crap until 2030, and they're going to sit there and play, oh, I'm just a philanthropist. Are you really? You're supporting groups and funding groups like Blackwater to be a police force, a domestic police force. Oh, that, what could go wrong with that? Okay, so that's it for me. It's a three-day weekend. Here we come. You know what to do. Like me, find me, share me. And as always, being that it's Thursday, I'm going to be on Greg's podcast. You can go over there. You can listen to him more than just the times you listen to me. And I will also post the podcast that he and I do when it is available. You know what you can do for me this weekend. Like me, find me, share me. Last Call Caravan and also Last Call Podcast with Chris Michael.